Blog Talk Radio.
As the legend goes, an old Cherokee was teaching his grandson about life. He said to the boy, "A fight is going on inside me. It is a terrible fight, and it is between two wolves. One is evil. He is anger, envy, sorrow, regret, greed, guilt, lies, superiority, and ego. The other is good. He is joy, peace, love, hope, humility, kindness, empathy, generosity, truth, compassion, and faith. The same fight is going on inside you, and inside every other person too." The grandson thought about it for a minute, and then he asked his grandfather, "Which wolf will win?" The old Cherokee simply replied, "The one you feed."
Broken down and tired of living life on the merry-go-round, and you can't find a fighter, but I see it in you, so we gon' walk it out. Ooh, mountains, we gon' walk it out, and ooh, mountains.
It just depends on what part of the world you're listening. Bienvenidos, que tal, namaste, oki, and welcome, welcome, welcome to another episode of the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show, broadcasting live every Monday and Wednesday, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, here on blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX at the end. My name is Will Green, holding down one half of our hosting duties. Holding down the other half of our host and duties, some call him the Lions Historian. You can hear the drums playing, boom, 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 boom. Others call him Unc. I just simply call him my best friend. He's my dad, Bill Green. What's happening, Daddy-O? How you doing, man? What's going on?
I'm doing all right, man. What's are you using a different mic or anything?
or is it just Blog Talk Radio acting up again?
I don't. What are you hearing?
It's okay. We don't need to get into that now. I was just asking. So obviously, it's Blog Talk Radio. It's business as usual, right? From last week to this week, you know, here we go again. One more swoop through the loop, as the saying goes. So I'm caught in the loop, or maybe caught in the swoop, trying to differentiate fact from fantasy. There's a lot of fantasy going on, especially from the Capitol Dome. You know, it's man, I've never. But then again, I wasn't conscious of the political scene in the 50s on back. So maybe the madness that I'm sensing and seeing is consistent with how it's always been. All I know is that from my 3/4 of a century of being on this earth, I ain't never seen things so absolutely mind-boggling, idiotic from politics as it seems to be today. And I just, when I stop and think about it, you know, I just don't understand what people really are voting for these days, you know, because there's so much idiocy going on that gets so much attention that just seems to make a mockery out of the whole idea of democracy, even though democracy has always been kind of hypocrisy for black folks. Still, you know, there was a time when, just a brief time, but there was a time when all of America, with a great majority of America, rallied around the idea of a free and open vote. You know, that window closed kind of rapidly, but nevertheless, it was open just for a minute. And, you know, I just missed that. So I'm concerned about it. I don't miss it because I went through a whole period of my own personal revolution where I wasn't voting or anything. I was waiting for the revolution to come. You know, and then this dude from Illinois messed around and ran for office. This kid, Barack Obama, I don't know if you ever heard of him, but that brought me out of the political closet, so to say. And maybe that was the reawakening of my, you know, political IQ. Maybe that's where it started, you know, going up again. I used to be, you know, as a teenager, you know, prior to going into the Army, I was really invested in the idea of politics. Well, that was from the 60s, you know, when everything was late 50s and early 60s, when everything was believable, you know. And then, of course, Kennedy came along. And for many black folks in particular, it was like, oh, yeah, finally, freedom is about to show up. But we didn't have Google. We didn't have, you know, talk shows, cable shows, rather. So we really didn't have the inside skinny on what was going on in the White House. So, you know, hopefully at some point between now and the next go-round, come 2024, things will begin to make sense again politically. So there it is, man.
Let me do a mic check. How is this any better? About the same, worse?
It's about the same, but I think it's probably Google. I think it's probably Blog Talk Radio because, you know, things have been too clear for too many weeks in a row, you know, for it to be an equipment thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, but you're fine. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I don't want you to not beat yourself up, but you're talking in reference to your political IQ. I mean, you know, the 60s, yeah, but then you hit the 70s and, you know, you kind of, you know, you had a family, you know, you kind of had some things that, you know, kind of kept you occupied, you know, your own personal, you know, things that you had to deal with and family and things like that. But, I mean, around the 80s, though, you know, and I'm just saying, man, you don't have to, you just sound like you're being a little hard on yourself, man.
No,
you know,
I'm telling you. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I didn't pick up
your book,
the pen, to vote until Barack Obama ran for president. I had shut all that down,
right.
You know, and I didn't see any purpose and reason for it after Kennedy, both Kennedys, King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, Fred Hampton. After a slew of assassinations and what happened to the Black Panther Party and the lie of Vietnam, I just lost faith in the ideal of democracy. And it wasn't until Barack Obama popped back on the scene. Actually, it was when he was given the introduction to Kerry. I think I called you. I said, "Man, what's up in Illinois?
Yeah.
Who's this dude?" You know, that's where I got keyed up again. You know, my alcoholism, shut down everything. You got to be, to develop alcoholism, you got to be dedicated. So I ain't had no time for nothing else. Yeah, there were times I wouldn't even go out anywhere. It's like, I ain't going. Do they serve drinks? What you mean we're going to a plate? Yeah, I ain't got no time for no play. They serve. What do you mean going to a restaurant where they just serve good food? Do they at least have beer? Yeah. Anyway, no. I had, so even when I came out of the doldrums and returned to family, the conversations were still, more about family, like you said, and more about patching up the holes, like you said, putting a life back together, like you said. But there weren't conversations about politics, and I sure wasn't one to stir it up. It wasn't until I was living in Homewood, I came back to Chicago area after my stint in Austin. When I came back, that's when it was like, oh, yeah, it's on now. Anyway. Look, I took up enough time with all this. I'm going to let you get to your due diligence.
Nah, man, you got me thinking. I'm going to keep, I'm going to be thinking about this stuff, man, and
our time together
and our discussions and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like 1990, man, at South Suburban College. But anyway.
I had written Dysfunctional by Design, but remember, that was about addiction. And about the claim for identity, it wasn't about politics. You were the spearhead of politics in the family, too. I did whatever I could do to support based on what I knew, which had so much to do with addiction and addictive behavior in the Black community. But you were like leading the charge about, showing up, get down, brotherhood. I had my turn at it in the 60s, but come the 70s, I was into a whole other way of life. So now, man, in many ways, even you brought me back into the, political spectrum. Yeah, because, you were kind of active.
Yeah.
I love that thing you were doing in South Suburban, man.
Yeah.
And the thing you were doing at Upward Bounds. And yeah, man, you kind of. You're doing it, dude. Okay, so anyway, enough of that.
Right. Yeah. All right. Another time, another show or whatever.
Another time, yeah. Yeah, it's another story for another time, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we do it at the beginning of every show, or somewhere near the beginning of our shows anyway, just a couple of reminders we like to pass on to y'all, what we like to identify as the due diligence. The first thing is just we want to make sure you've got a pen and pad, pencil and paper, post-it note, a marker. We don't care, the back of an envelope or a napkin. We just want to make sure you got something to write with. You got any questions, any comments, any notes, anything, we don't want you to miss it. Maybe you do have some questions and comments. You're like, I might have a question, but how can I share it? Well, I'm glad you asked that. I'm going to tell you how you can share it. The thing that we love about doing our shows here on Blog Talk Radio is it gives us the opportunity to engage with you all. So there's a couple of ways you can engage with us and ask your questions or state your comments. And of course, we hope they're positive comments. But anyway, our number here is 516 516-453-6094. Hopefully you've got that pen and pad handy. Once again, that's 516-453-6094. And when you're ready to do so, just press 1 on your keypad. That'll put your number in our queue, and we'll bring you in as soon as we can. We'll just leave it at that. Another way you can engage with us is that we have a chat room open on Blog Talk Radio site. With your free Blog Talk Radio profile, you can engage with us. Just go to today's episode, and at the bottom of the screen there, you'll see the chat room. You can just jump right in there in the chat room. Or we have Ye Olde Facebook, the event page that we always set up for you. Maybe you don't want to set up a Blog Talk Radio account, or maybe you don't want to call in. But again, we want to make sure that we have a chance to hear from you all, the listeners. We want to make sure, we want to know what's on your mind. We don't know how many times we have to express that, but we'll keep on doing it every show. We want to know what's on your mind. So the Facebook event page is open. If you didn't get an invitation, let us know. We want to make sure that we reach out to you. Let us know of our shows when they're coming on and our subject matters, et cetera. But if you go to the discussion tab in the event page on Facebook, you can post any questions or comments there as well.
Right on.
So, there you have it from your friends at the Greenhouse Effects Radio Show.
You got that down pat, don't you? I love it, man. I love it.
You know, in my old notebooks, I don't know how many times I had continued to re-edit that script, if you will, and just making sure that, you know, that we gave the information that's needed for everybody, you know, but it's like, wow, no, that don't sound right. No, that don't, you know. But anyway, thank you. So I'm glad it comes out good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I think we've done more improvements in Blog Talk Radio, actually.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, man, that's deep. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I'm picking on them. So what? You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? If we ever find another way to give people the opportunity to, you know, talk with us, you know, we're going to be out of here. I bet you that. But anyway.
Well,
again.
Yeah, well, you and I are going to talk about that, you know, absolutely, you know, and it has, and I think it lines up with the dream of syndication, you know, but the question becomes, real quick, you know, what type of quality programs do we want to be able to send to radio stations? You know, do we want them to be what we have right now in the archives, or do we want to look for a better podcast outlet that, you know, is crisp, even though we may have to sacrifice for the time being callers calling in, you know. Anyway, we'll talk about it. I'm not going to take up air time. But I'm just excited about the idea of improving the content of what we have to offer based on not the quality of Dawn, the effectiveness outlet that has a better sound quality to it. And we don't have to worry about, you know, I don't know what happens with Blog Talk Radio, but it doesn't seem that, that its software or whatever it is that is used for that particular type of program, it just doesn't seem as high quality.
No, it's,
you know,
not,
and maybe that's
not
a good thing, because maybe high quality would double the price of what you pay. I can't even say we pay, you know,
we
be
pay.
Able to offer this up. Yeah, because you're paying
it. Cut it out.
You know, so you
no,
pay, you get what you pay for, but we don't know
what
we're supposed to get, right? Because this is the only one we've used. Go ahead, sorry.
Yeah, then the program just needs to be updated. And I'm sure people are like,
yeah,
why are you guys talking about this right now? Well, this is, number one, it's our show. You know, I'm just going to put it out there like
yeah,
that. All
right. Right on.
But,
yeah.
But I don't mean that in a bad way. You know, number two,
I didn't
it's our
think
show.
So.
You know, because, you know, and I say it because we always like to encourage everyone to express themselves, whatever form of creativity, artistry, whatever you have,
yeah,
writing, speaking, you know, and if this is an avenue, You know, and so I think I can speak for my dad to say that at times, for lack of a better word, we enjoy the transparency that we have to offer, you know, where we show, you know, our agreements and disagreements and moments when the website is just not acting right. And, you know, I mean, like life, you know, life ain't perfect.
Yeah.
But we accept and we embrace those imperfections, and we're not afraid to show it and talk about it, because, you know, life is all about improving, right? So the show sometimes gives us a chance
to show
that, you know, so.
Right on.
I hope that's okay. I can speak for you all in that regard, you know, so. You know,
well, you know what they say, it's better to ask for forgiveness than permission.
Your permission, right? I told somebody
but no,
that
you're right
one
on,
time.
Man.
Hey, man,
you're
I
right
told
on.
Somebody that one time. They said, I hate that phrase. Well, hey.
There you go.
So
yeah.
I ask for
well,
your
you
forgiveness.
Know, I hate agree to disagree, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, we all got something, yeah. Yeah, okay. Something. Right on, man. But that's right on. Yeah, that's right on. I mean, like, it's what we do, and I think that's what adds flavor to how we do it, you know, and I think that's what's going to be the selling angle. This is non-rehearsed, but at the same time, it's thought out and discussed. It's just non-rehearsed. We don't get together and say, okay, you do this, I'll do that. You know, I'll set you up, you set me up. You know, maybe it's because we've known each other all our lives, you know. I mean, I've known you.
Goodness. Oh my!
Yeah,
life.
But you've known me all your life, you know. But how does it go? But you've known me all your life, but you haven't known me all my life, you know. So we somehow have built a pretty good understanding, and I think anyway that we've built a pretty good understanding on how we operate. And it's not like it's always been smooth sailing.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or, ladies and gentlemen, tell me what show you're going to find, low quality or not, video or not. Tell me what show, what entertainment, whatever you want to call it, that's got a black father and son team trying to bridge the gaps, trying to, you know what I'm saying,
right,
and identifying these levels of generation that we talk about. What the future is going to look like, and what about these kids today and back in my day, you know, where are you going to find that, where a black man and his father, 75 and 50-year-old black men, have the opportunity to discuss these things and open it up for other people, you know?
Man, I can't get used to the fact that you're 50, I mean.
Coming up on 51. And one more.
Yeah, real fast. Yeah. All right. Yeah, right on, man. Okay, yeah. Yeah, right on. I absolutely have full confidence in you speaking for the both of us. Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah. So today, where are we?
Yeah, today, man, our first show in October. It was 45
right.
degrees this morning, man. Dang. Anyway.
Man, come February, when you say that, it's going to be like, man, it's hot. It's 45 degrees.
Yeah, I know, right?
Every year. It's amazing, isn't it? Every year, though, it's the same rap. I mean, I remember it all too well. And if I was back in Chicago, I'd be right in step with you, you know. Dang, man, it's cold out. It's 45, you know, and it's October. It's 45. And come February, man, whew, that's great. Let's break out the copper tone. It's 45.
Good out here, right?
Let's play, too.
It's amazing.
Trip. Yeah, it's a trip.
Amazing.
Yeah, right on, man. So what's going on the first show in October of 2022?
So today is a historical day. I think we can call it historic. And we've been talking about KBJ.
Yeah.
I know you love that acronym, KBJ.
I do.
Ketanji Brown Jackson. You know, last time we talked about her, of course, you know, we had to wait till this time. You know, she was sworn in. But today starts the Supreme Court's new term. Today is the first day. This is her first day on the Supreme Court. first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court in its
130
plus years of existence. 230, yeah. And we're just now celebrating, but thank goodness that we are celebrating this historic moment. You know, I mean,
I agree.
Talk about how long it took, but we're here, man, and that's what's important, you know.
Right on. Absolutely. So what are your thoughts about that? I mean, I know mine is an older black dude, you know, which everybody's probably tired of hearing. It's like, okay, here we go again. It's going to start with that older black dude, right? So in a midterm black dude, you know, what from your perspective, historically, what is the impact of it, you know, having the first black female Supreme Court justice? Does that have any impact on you at all?
Yeah, I think that just the first thought that comes to mind is just that it's about time.
Okay.
I think that is, you know, it's just a long, I think it's one of those things where it's a long time coming.
And well, yeah, what'd you say, 130 years?
200,
can't get much 200, longer than that. 230 years, that's what I meant, yeah. You know, you can't get much longer than that when it comes to American history, right? Go ahead, man, I'm sorry.
You know, and even just talking about the struggles of women in America, let alone black women in America.
Well, no, black women in particular, yeah.
Yeah, having to do twice as much for twice as long.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, this speaks to it right here. You know, but we're finally here. So I'm glad that we're able to see this day. And I'm excited to see. I'm not going to get all into, well, I can't wait to see what changes are going to happen, because honestly, we don't know. I mean, our political system in America is very, it's very questionable, and I know you're going to get into that as far as like even just basic common sense. So I'm not holding any expectations just yet, but just like how we discussed the woman king over the last couple of weeks, and you know we've had discussions and disagreements and controversies, but it forced a lot of people to research and to really understand and know what it is, number one, what it is that you're talking about or what it is that you have a problem with, but just to know the history. And I think that sometimes we kind of lose that part of going into the future. You know, it's okay to still acknowledge the past and acknowledge the history, because you still got to understand where you are today. You got to understand where
it's good to know history. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, right on.
So as we start to look at, and I'm going to share your article in our group and on my page and all that other stuff too.
About what? I'm sorry, you kind of faded out. You said you're going to share what?
The article that you had posted on just about the upcoming cases and things that they're going to be hearing and deciding on in the next, what, nine months, right? 9 months is how they're in session. So over the next 9 months, I'm excited to see what they're going to be hearing and what they're going to be talking about. And I think that this will really force us to really look at the history of some of these things that they're going to be talking about, you know. And I don't want to get too much into what these topics are, but we've talked about it. And I'll just say, like, one being I'm not even going to do that because I don't want to, like I said, I don't want to start on that and then we start rolling down the mountainside again. But I'm excited to see what they're going to be talking about, because I think that it's going to force us to do a little bit more research and to just understand exactly what they're going to be talking about. Because I think for a lot of black people, not counting Clarence Thomas, I think this is a little bit more personable, if you will, for a lot of black people to see somebody like KBJ sitting on the court. Because, like, you know, Clarence Thomas, we don't really, I mean, we know he's black, but.
Well, yeah. But you do know that really she's still the minority of the liberal class of Supreme Court justices.
Sure.
You know, it's not even at all. It's still 5-4 in favor of the right. So, you know, if I'm hearing you right, what you're saying is maybe because there's a black female on the Supreme Court, maybe that'll up the curiosity of black folks overall, whether it be, you know, black women, you know, or just, you know, the black mind. Maybe it will inspire us to improve our Supreme Court IQ, because I agree with you. I think, you know, Clarence Thomas has sabotaged it, at least among, you know, black consciousness, you know, because he absolutely does not, you know, represent, you know, the status quo of black America at all. That's me saying that, you know. And of course, you're not required to agree with me, but I'd be highly disappointed if you didn't. Go ahead.
No pressure, ladies and gentlemen.
Go ahead. Yeah, I just wanted to interject that because she doesn't really, she still comes into a situation that is very disadvantageous. But I agree with you. I hope it, go ahead. Let me show
you. But even that, just to realize, because most black people, Ketanji Brown Jackson's first day on the Supreme Court, stereotypically, and I hate to, you know, but, you know, well, yeah, all right, she's gonna do this, and now they got a black woman on the court, and now this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. It's like, no, she's going to give them this perspective, and now we got a black, well, yeah, but no. But even just the fact that they're still in the minority, and just understanding what that means, I think that just in that basic beginning part of understanding what she's dealing with.
Yeah.
Just what she's dealing with.
I think that's the point right there, that it will raise awareness. Just like, you know, when Obama became president, it raised awareness. Even if there will be a degree of disappointment in effectiveness or lack of it, at least it'll raise awareness of just how the system of so-called democracy works. And I think that's what's important, you know, being represented and having a voice, you know, present that can speak in essence, you know, for the masses, and knowing that that voice be heard, even though, you know, we're going to find that, yeah, heard, but still, you know, not as effective as we would like. I agree with you. We'll raise our level of consciousness, you know, to how this system really works. And that's what seems to be lacking so much in the overall black community. We're just not as aware as we need to be about the working politics of this country. I don't know how that happened, how it took a downswing, which I consider it to be. I don't know where we lost interest. I know there's a lot of things that add to it, and hopefully this will be the kind of thing that will renew that or re-engage that spark of awareness and curiosity to reinvest in the overall system of so-called American justice. Again, I cut you off. Sorry, man.
No, you're good. I will applaud the people who, in their research and their discussion, you know, and their engagement, those that look up after reading and talking and they realize something and they reach those aha moments, those moments where it's like, oh, that's not right. What? You mean they've been doing that? They've been doing that like that?
There you go. Yeah.
Oh, man, those moments, you know, that's that's what I hope for, you know, and I hope that we can get more of those. And from that we can share those moments that we're ignorant. You know, that's another discussion for another time, but you know, hopefully we can share those moments when it's like, hey, did you know? Because I didn't know this, you know, because we're not so easy to really talk about things we don't know. So I hope that we have these aha moments and we can share these aha moments and you know, not come across like you know everything, of course, but just.
Well, Yeah, but aha moments, when embraced by I knew that moment, still raises awareness moments, you know. And so, you know, not everybody has or needs aha moments. Some have already had it. But
yeah,
it's very, you know, it's very encouraging anytime an aha moment can be a part of an overall conversation about anything. You know, and we haven't had many aha moments in the hood, in the black community, in the black face of America in a while now. So, you know, I'm hoping, you know, we get it a lot in maybe in the realm of entertainment, you know, but not so much on the political scene, what you just said. I didn't know that. And I think that's one thing that our show is really trying to bring about, you know, providing those aha moments like, wow, really? Manifest Destiny? And it had that kind of impact on what was going on in American society during the apex of slavery. Yeah, connect the dots. Yeah, connect the dots. Right on, man.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that was that's all I had that I just wanted to share just this day, October 3rd, 2022.
It's a big one.
Yeah. KBJ's first day in the Supreme Court, you know, so we'll see what's up in the next 9 months. And, you know,
how can I put it? Kind of annoying, you know, and it probably is not an adequate word for lack of a better one. It's been annoying for me today. I've kind of shied away from the news cycle quite a bit. Don't listen to it nearly as much as I used to. I kind of pace myself now. But I tuned in a little bit more today than lately. And it's disappointing that as much noise as was made back in March about her being appointed, hardly anybody said anything about it today.
Nothing, right? You didn't see,
you know,
that much.
I mean, yeah. I really looked, and it was like, I even turned on The View. Lord, why did I do that? I stopped listening to The View because it has truly challenged my serenity. But I turned it on anyway today. It reminded me the first time I watched it with a girlfriend back then. And she had to just interpret everything that was being said because I couldn't follow the chatter. So I turned it on today just knowing that Whoopi or somebody would, and maybe they did later on, but they didn't for the first half hour, make any mention of Ketanji, Justice Brown's first day on the bench. Go ahead, man.
No, maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll mention something tomorrow. Maybe everybody wanted to just hold their breath and see how the first day went and talk about it tomorrow.
And that doesn't make any sense. The holding the breath happened to get for her to get appointed. Today should have been the exhale. It should have been the, yeah, all right. But it was nothing. That was my point. Nothing. Very disappointing. Yeah, very disappointing. Or maybe I just did. I'm sure maybe if I had turned on Fox News, I would have really heard them celebrating the moment. Yeah, right. Okay, so where are we?
Fox News. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so like I said earlier about the whole common sense thing, and there's a lot of crazy stuff that's happened. So is it because we've got some elections coming up? We're talking politics here. What's going on with our politics here? What we got coming up? What's going on out here?
Well, there's a lot going on. So, like, you know, it'd be impossible to capture a lot. Again, so much of what's going on is contingent on people's curiosity really being piqued to investigate, you know, what this midterm election has in store for American society in general, but black folks in particular. You know, so there's just little things that are giving, to me, indicators of taking the temperature of the midterm, you know, seeing that this person out of Georgia, it's really interesting what's going on in Georgia and Florida and Texas right now. But Marjorie Taylor Greene, and the Greene part isn't going to be there much longer because her husband filed for divorce. Anyway, she gave a speech over the weekend, and Don Trump was a part of, you know, that that I think was in Warren, Michigan, or somewhere. And her speech just ahead of his, that the essence of it said, "I am not going," and this I'm quoting, "I am not going to mince words with y'all. Democrats want Republicans dead, and they have already started with the killings." Now, that wasn't metaphor. That wasn't hyperbole. She was saying that Democrats have already started killing, physically killing Republicans. And she gave a couple examples, and I'm not going to get into that. That wasn't so disturbing because it's Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Right.
What's disturbing is what followed the article I was reading, where there was a poll taken, you know, where 700 people were a part of it. And of the 700 participants that participated, 71% found her speech unacceptable, but 27% found it acceptable. 27% of 700 people polled found her words acceptable. And then there was 1% that was not sure. Well, I put that in the acceptable. Because, you know, like, you know, you either unaccept it or you accept it. And if you're not sure, well, that goes in the accepted as far as I'm concerned. So 28% found her words acceptable. That's, you break that down in percentages in the overall population of American society, that's a whole lot of people that clamor to what she's talking about. So, you know, do with it what you will. And she's out of Georgia. Right. And so what's going on in Georgia? Well, you don't have to look too far. You know, and again, we're still talking about, you know, what's happening with, you know, with the midterms. Right. And so you just go to Governor Brian Kemp, Georgia's governor. And this should be right up your alley, man. He said efforts to change the name of the Atlanta Braves baseball team are the result of woke cancel culture. Ignore, of course. He's ignoring or ignorant to, take your choice, of the fact that the indigenous peoples of this country have been fighting for decades to eliminate what they call racist team names and mascots from, you know, the sports world. You know, so again, you know, this woke cancel culture theme used by Kemp shows total ignorance to historical perspectives of a people that it's kind of easy to ignore for someone like him, right? I mean, when have indigenous peoples been the headliners of anything in the last, 100 years? The last Indian War happened in the late 1800s, right around 1897, right? So with that no longer being, you know, the headline, you know, they've just been totally, you know, swept under the rug, right? So that's what's going on, you know, with this dude out of Georgia, you know. But then we got the two Florida GOP senators, Rubio and Scott.
Man. Yeah,
they voted no on hurricane relief for their own state. But then they turned around and wrote a letter of appropriations asking for hurricane relief money. So what's going? You know, I asked one of my friends out of Florida what that was all about, and her response was, "Well, what y'all doing in Texas?" So I guess there's an overall indifference to that which you just become accustomed to. I don't know, man, but that's just so. Again, it's what's on the horizon, but we're not done. Your boy Herschel, you know. I mean, you got to talk about Herschel Walker, right? At some point, you know, running against Warnocky, you know, Warnock, I'm sorry, you know, his own hometown, you know, less than 10% of the people in his own hometown, you know, black folks, want anything to do with his campaign. And less than 10% of the overall black population in Georgia have already acknowledged that they ain't voting for him. But yet, if you read what is being put out on the, you know, on the airwaves, on the internet or whatever, it's like a 1 or 2% difference in the race between him and Warnock. So what's, you know, it's just such a I don't know. This is just such a strange political, what we just talked about earlier, you know, the earlier openings of the show. It's just a strange political environment right now, man. And so to hear you talk about Justice Brown is refreshing in that, you know, your awareness has been piqued to conversations that have been dragging, that have been missing. I don't think we've had much of an, we meaning black folks in general, have had much of an invigorating conversation around politics since Obama was first elected. I mean, look what's happened since, you know, 4 years of Trump and 2 years of Biden, you know, has really made one like myself wonder what happened. You know, how do we go through a Trump and then struggle? I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm really struggling. I'm pulling for Joe like I used to pull for the Cubs. Come on, y'all. You can do it. Come on.
That's not a good.
Oh, raise yourself by your bootstraps.
We gotta change that one.
Pre-World Series Cubs. No, man, I can't change that because this is all my life. Vast majority of my life, man, the Cubs barely got out the cellar. And then they had one shining moment. Oh, no, you can't replace that one shining moment with all those years of, come on, y'all, you can do it. And why are you defending the Cubs? You're supposed to be a Sox fan, you traitor. Yeah, I know why. So what I wanted to talk about in the last couple minutes that I have, we got about 13 minutes left. Wow, man, it's amazing how fast it passes. I just wanted to talk about unintended circumstances, and it may seem like it's not really that related, but, you know, just hear it out to the end, you know, because sometimes it's just that one thing. You know, on February 15th, 1933, a guy named Giuseppe Zengagra, shot and killed Chicago Mayor Anton Cermak, but his target wasn't Cermak, wasn't Mayor Cermak. It was the guy he was shaking hands with, who was the newly elected president, Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Zengagra, was standing on a wobbly chair. If he had hit his target, the intended target, you know, but standing on that wobbly chair threw his aim off, you know, then the New Deal wouldn't have happened and probably America would not have survived the Great Depression. Now, I wasn't born yet. You know, it was going to be, you know, still about 14 years later. Then looking at another one, March 2nd, 1955, a young 15-year-old black girl, Claudette Colvin, was arrested in Alabama for refusing to give up her seat to a white woman. At first, civil rights leaders, the ACLU and the NAACP, all rallied around her, and they were going to make her the symbol of civil rights. But she was at 15, she was also pregnant and unmarried. So they all kind of backed off. 8 months later, Rosa Parks happened. During that stretch, a young, brilliant, black, charismatic minister had gained popularity in the community and was chosen to lead the bus boycotts all through Alabama, particularly Montgomery. If Colvin hadn't been pregnant, the boycotts probably wouldn't have happened, and we probably would never have heard of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. on such a grand scale. Unintended circumstances, O-rings, you know, not onion rings, O-rings are like giant washers that keep pressurized hydrogen from leaking out of the SRBs, which is the solid rocket boosters that send the space shuttle out of Earth's atmosphere. O-rings were tested under every conceivable circumstance over and over again, except for one. Cold. They didn't think to test for that because when would it ever get cold from launch pants in South Florida? But on January 28th, 1986, a cold snap dragged the overnight temperature down to 18 degrees above zero. It turns out that O-rings lose effectiveness below 40 degrees. 73 seconds after the Challenger shuttle lifted off, it converted itself into a bomb, killing all of the astronauts aboard. Sometimes it's just the one thing, maybe not all the time, maybe not most of the time, but sometimes. So what are the circumstances that surrounds the making of a Donald Trump as president? or Marjorie Taylor Greene as a representative out of Georgia, or an Abraham Lincoln into the presidency, or Barack Obama into becoming the first black male president, or Ketanji Brown Jackson into the first black female Supreme Court justice. You know, so these unintended circumstances going unnoticed, sometimes we miss the point, I think, the overall greater point, you know, that we are responsible for recognizing the circumstances, intended or otherwise, and take responsibility for doing something about correcting whatever is wrong or doing what we need to do to support what's right. So thank you for just letting me get that, squeeze that in, man. Yeah.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. I was wondering where the heck is he going with this, but
yeah,
aha,
you know, and it comes all the way back to what you said earlier. It leaks back and it connects with, and it points back to, there's no getting around the importance of knowing history. You know, we can't take a stance on the immediate scene of American politics unless we understand its history. And understanding its history provides us with the opportunity of connecting the dots, and we can see clearly in politics why a thing is the way it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it for me tonight, man. I definitely turn the reins back over to you to land this airplane. You got 8 minutes. My man.
Man, you mentioned the Challenger. That one of my more current heroes, Ronald McNair.
Right. Right. Yeah, you talked about him on the show about a year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a while now. Yeah, he's got a birthday coming up. End of the month.
Check you out. We got to make it a point to talk about him on that show then, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what you did the last one. It must have been a year ago that you talked about him, right on.
Been about a year, yeah. October 21st. Yeah. So another thing I just wanted to just remind the listeners out here before we close it out tonight. So, again, these midterm elections, November 8th, is about a month away.
Yeah, man. A month and change, yeah.
For those that didn't even realize that was a midterm election coming up, well, yeah, we've got an election coming up. Wonder why we keep seeing all these commercials and getting all this mail and all that stuff. Yeah. November 8th. 434 seats in the House is up.
Check you out. Right on, man. Yeah.
35 of the 100 seats in the Senate is up. You know, this is the first election.
Everything's up.
Yeah.
Up for grabs. Yeah.
I mean, well, and then we're dealing with the restrictions, the new voting, you know, restrictions, right? We've got a lot of stuff that we need to really be looking at. And
a lot of people only need to go on the internet to check and validate that they're registered. It's not like people got to go anywhere. You know, go ahead, man. Sorry.
No, you're right. No. Say it, man. You know,
I just checked last week to be sure that no trickery has happened. You know, and it took me 2 tries, but I found me. I had messed around and put William P. Green Sr., and that's not how I was registered. I was registered as William P. Green. So just something that simple could have disqualified me, or I could have thought I was disqualified to vote.
And
you know,
I
took the senior off, yeah.
And
you may have registered like that, though.
Yeah, I registered with junior, yeah.
And I thought I had registered with senior. And if I had just stuck to that, I would have figured, okay, now what I got to do. But no, I'm good. Yeah, man, but a lot of folks, I guess my point is, a lot of folks will let an assumed technicality convince them based on what the media is, you know, promoting right now, that, oh, I'm one of them black folks who can't, I've been disenfranchised. Never knew what that word was, but now I know what it is. I've been disenfranchised, so there's no point in me calling anybody because they took my right away. Go ahead, man. Sorry.
No, that's, I just wanted to, you know, bring that point. Cause, I mean, we've been talking about it, and I'm like, man, I'm thinking here before we go, I'm like, wait a minute. I ain't got no problem with admitting when I don't know, which is, I guess I'm happy because I do that now, because there was a long time when I didn't like expressing how I you know, I didn't know things. So I'm happy to, you know, express my, wait, when is the election? Oh, a month away. Okay. That's
right.
Yeah,
but that's what you talk, that's what you were talking about earlier, that raise in consciousness of being aware now. You know, that's the kind of stuff that an Obama or a Justice Jackson can inspire. And dialogue like this, what you just talked about, the aha moments. Yeah, man. This is what an aha moment feels like. Oh, the elections. Yeah, that's right. It means something now. Right on. Yeah. I want to right quick acknowledge, I see, you know, Jay Pastor's out there. Ray, your cousin Ray was out there for a minute, but I see he dropped off. But just want to give a shout out to you, you know, Jay Pastor, see you out there. We're trying real hard to stick to the discipline of ending at 8 o'clock. Yeah, sometimes though it's hard, ain't it, man?
And another thing, right? Just one more point. Just one more point before we go. And, you know, then that turns into 20 minutes.
Okay, man. All righty, man. Again, thank you so much for us doing this together. I want to say for you letting me do it, and I want to say you to say letting you do it. Thank you, man, for us sharing this time. It's always special to me, man. I'm already looking forward to Wednesday.
Right on. All right. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mondays and Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time. blogtalkradio.com/thegreenhouseeffects. That's the letter FX. FX at the end. I'm Will. That's Bill.
I'm Bill.
Every night we try to, well, Mondays and Wednesdays at least, this is we try to give an opportunity to exercise critical thinking, experience renewed self-awareness, and maybe even a deeper connection to others in the experience, especially when we share interpretations and feelings. Our phone lines are always open for you, the chat room, Facebook event. We want to hear from you, ladies and gentlemen. We really do. We want to know what's on your mind. Phone lines are always open for you. In the meanwhile, Dad and I hope that you always be safe, be blessed. Most importantly, be yourself, because, hey, man, everybody else is taken.
Amen.
Until Wednesday, have a good night. Amen. Love you, Dad.
Love you back, Will. You too.
Feeling this way, I guess I should be crying, but my heart just won't obey. If you'll stay, you'll be happy as I lie here on the rooftop in the rain. I say. Thank you. made me who I am.